Hello and welcome to So What You're Saying Is, I'm Peter Whittle. Now, what do you do if your career stalls because you've been accused of racism or having the wrong political views? Well, that's something which more and more people are facing, but some of them are fighting back. Amy Gallagher, who's a nurse and psychotherapist, is one such person, and she joins me today. Thank you very much for coming in, Amy.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Now, you are in the middle, are you not, of a legal battle.
That's correct, yeah.
Before we go into the story, can you just tell me what that entails, actually, the legal battle?
So I've brought initiated court proceedings against the Tavistock and Portman NHS Trust that was served to them at the end of March. The charges that we're bringing against them are religious discrimination, racial discrimination, discrimination on the basis of philosophical belief, harassment and victimisation. We're in the process of neg we're waiting for their defence. We're in the process of negotiating with their lawyers. And there's external and internal complaints still, investigations still going on right now. So it's
Right.
very much live. Yeah.
And so you are crowdfunding for this, aren't
Yes.
you?
Yeah. I started
Yes.
crowdfunding. Yes, it's going to cost an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
I'm getting some expert witnesses to testify against some of these ideas and trying to. I want this case to be as impactful as possible, but to do that does cost quite a lot of money, yeah.
Can you sort of, I mean, a lot of people, a lot of our viewers would not have heard of your case. I know it's been reported in the national press, but can you sort of tell us, go into some detail and
Yes,
tell
yeah.
us, from the very word go, what actually happened to you?
Yeah, so just to explain, so I'm a mental health nurse, I work in the NHS, and I was training to become a psychotherapist. I'd already done 2 years at the Tavistock in Portman and graduated with a postgraduate diploma. And then to finalise that, to become a qualified psychotherapist, I needed to do 2 more years. So I enrolled for the final 2 years in the academic year of 2020. And it was very quickly into that academic year that I started to have issues with some of the things that they were teaching. So it started with a lecture that I had to attend titled Race and Racism. And it was extraordinarily political. It really had nothing to do with psychology or psychotherapy. You know, there are psychological studies about race and racism and et cetera. None of that was mentioned. It was all about Black Lives Matter and Meghan Markle and the critical race theorists were being quoted,
Right.
not psychologists. And Christianity was being mentioned quite negatively on a couple of occasions within the lecture. So it felt very, it had an agenda really and was not relevant to the training. So at the end of that lecture, I mentioned in the question and answers section, I said, you know, it feels that this is quite politically biased. And I'm curious about why you're singling out Christianity in this lecture. And the lecturer said, well, Christianity is responsible for racism because it's European. Yes,
Just like that,
just like that.
bold
Yes,
assertion.
and there seemed to be the idea that I was in the wrong for even questioning, you know. So I started to be quite concerned about, you know, the political bent of the course. And then not long after that lecture, I was sent a lecture called Whiteness, a Problem for Our Time. This was advertised as being a policy seminar. And it was a celebratory lecture of 100 years of the Tavistock. And it was being highly publicised on their website and it was being sent to me.
Right.
I looked on the website, it was essentially critical race theory. So it was saying things like whiteness and racism are the same thing. They put on their website that it's the job of white people to tackle racism, specifically white people. And the lecture, so I watched it, and it was just an hour of ideology, no reference to psychological research, no debate, no other side to what they were teaching. It was just oh, white people this, white people that. I mean, if you go onto my crowdfund, GoFundMe Stand Up to Woke, I've created a video that shows some of the things they were saying. But it was, you know, white ignorance, white privilege, white fragility, white people don't understand the world, white people this, white people that. And
Racist, in other words.
racist, very racist,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
And it's not saying there is this thing called critical race theory and it says this and you can disagree with it or you can agree with it. It's not a debate, it's this is the teaching, you know. So I responded to that and said, you know, in an email that responding to their email, I said, well, this is actually an ideology. And I personally don't think being white is a problem and it shouldn't be seen as a problem. And I said, we need to be aware that there's different viewpoints. As clinicians, we could be treating patients who don't like these views and don't view the world in this way. And I encouraged, a debate, essentially.
Well, can I just explain?
Yes,
were you in a lecture hall with lots of people?
No. This is all online because it was the pandemic.
Right,
yeah.
But you actually brought points up on the spot, did you?
Yes.
What was the reaction of other people around?
So I did. There wasn't any reaction from other students, but I essentially got called into a meeting after that by the course lead, and the meeting was framed as, we need to talk about how you responded, essentially reprimanding me. And in this meeting, she essentially said, well, if you don't agree with these ideas, the course might not be right for you. She said, we're an anti-racist organisation. And I said, well, I'm also anti-racist. I'm against racism. And my understanding of that is not judging a person by the colour of their skin, treating people equally, not having prejudice towards anyone. She said, well, we see that as discredited and outdated at the Tavistock.
Discredited and outdated.
Yes.
In other words, what Martin Luther King said.
Is discredited. They don't say how it's been discredited by whom. Yeah. They've just decided that it's discredited. Yeah, that they don't care about any kind of evidence for their assertions. So I said, this lecture, whiteness a problem for our time, is this the view of this particular lecturer, or is this the view of the whole trust? And she said, I think it would be the view of the whole trust. That I said, what, that all white people are racist? And she said, yes, I think that would be the view of the trust, the Tavistock Trust. And she said, it's a bit like the way there's an inherent sexism in all men. And I said, well, I don't agree with that either, so that doesn't really help me. And she said, well, we'll just have to leave it there. But, there was an idea that going forward, I'd have to sort of watch what I say, essentially.
Really?
Yes. So after...
How did you feel after this?
Yeah, I was so shocked. I couldn't believe it. I thought, surely they would allow for a debate. To me, it's quite outrageous to even do a lecture like that, whether it's just openly racist. But to say then, actually, you can't even disagree. I just couldn't believe it. And I was paying tuition fees into this institution that was pushing ideas that I just find totally unacceptable. So my first thought was, I don't want to continue. I don't want to pay money into this institution, and I don't even know if I want to be part of the profession if it's going in this direction. So I had a thought, had a think about it, and then I put in a complaint, and I just said, this is what's been said. It goes against the Equalities Act. It's discriminatory towards certain groups, namely white people, Christians, and men have all been, singled out. So they responded to that and said, well, we're taking your complaint very seriously. We'll look into it. And then 3 days after I made that complaint, I got a progress report sent to me about my progress in the course. And they said, you're doing really well with patients, your clinical work is fine. And then in the covering letter to the email, the course lead, who's the one that pulled me into the meeting, she said, that the progression board have noticed that your personal views aren't in keeping with the trust's anti-racist thinking. And you need to do some more learning about diversity.
This is just appalling.
Yeah. If someone's saying to you, your views aren't anti-racist, that implies that you're a racist.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
It's sort of Stalinist.
Yes,
isn't it?
It is. Yes. What have I said? I've said I've actually disagreed with racism. It's a complete inversion. It's
yes.
Yeah. So I was out. I just couldn't believe. I couldn't believe it was happening. I can't believe that's been written to me. So I added that to my complaint, and I said, look, I'm essentially. It felt like a veiled threat, because it's part of my progress on the course.
Yeah.
So they said, okay, we'll look into that as well. While they was doing this so-called investigation into my complaint, they continued to send me reading material that pushed the same ideas, essentially. So they didn't seem to be have any hesitation with that. They sent reading material that quoted Robin DiAngelo quite heavily, who is a...
Oh, the white frailty.
White fragility. Who should be the white... Robin DiAngelo is not a clinician. She's not a psychologist. She's just... a random person that just writes a load of racist stuff. It has no legitimacy, in the academic sense. It's got no evidence behind it. And they are using her ideas essentially as their main go-to for race and racism. And the stuff that they sent me essentially said that Christianity is responsible for racism because of its use of the words light and dark. They said, just more of the same stuff, white fragility, white people this, white people that. So I just noted that, I didn't say anything. And then at the end of that term, there was a review of the term, and I was asked by the course lead how we were finding things so far. She actually asked, is there anything that you don't like or anything that's annoyed you so far? And I said, well, I actually don't like this reading material that's been sent. Again, it's discriminatory. Mm. I said, you know, this writer, Robin DiAngelo, she's not a clinician. None of her ideas are evidence-based. They're extremely radical and they are racist. And I don't know why this is being sent to me. She told me to stop speaking. And a couple of days later she sent an email to me saying that she was raising a student conduct policy against me. She said
purely for disagreeing,
yeah, and being skeptical about ideas, like I said, as you should do as a student. You know, you should be curious, you know, you should express a kind of skepticism and trying to understand ideas. She wrote in her email that the way I disagreed was inappropriate. She said I'd caused the learning environment to become traumatic. She wrote that to me in an email. She told me that I was vexatious, that it was inappropriate for me to have disagreed. She said it was inappropriate for me to have expressed my personal opinion, even though I was asked what my opinion was. It doesn't make sense. She said there would be a investigation into me. That didn't happen. Basically, about 7 weeks later, I just got a letter sent to me from the Deputy Director of Education and Training at the Tavistock. And she just essentially said, we've done an investigation into you, it's completed. And actually, according to their own policies, they're supposed to meet with me and hear my side of the story and have a mediation process. They didn't do any of that. They just sent a letter saying to me, if you continue to speak inappropriately about race, you could be suspended from the course, or it may even affect your ability to enter the profession of psychotherapy.
Really?
Yes. They wouldn't, at no point have they told me what I actually said that's inappropriate. So I wrote a further complaint about that. Meanwhile, the investigation that was going on into my complaint was completed, and I got an investigation report into the complaints that I'd raised. In that, they essentially said that they'd realised that the view of whiteness as a system of power and privilege needs to be written into their policies more, not less. And they said that actually we encourage all students to interrogate whiteness. Essentially, I was the problem, really, and that I was incapable of learning, that I was defensive, and I needed to be helped to understand these ideas more, you know.
And this, let's be clear about this, this is in a kind of a public health environment,
yes.
Isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
What the hell has any of this got to do with that?
Yes, so this is a clinical training to work as a mental health professional in the NHS.
Yeah.
The Tavistock and Portman is an NHS Foundation trust.
So what's the relationship with the famous Tavistock?
Yes, it is. It's all one thing. It's, you know, the Tavistock that we've heard about in the news, it's the same institution. It's not a humanities course. It's not a philosophy course where there's a discussion. It's a training to work to treat individuals, which is just, you know, so insane, because you will be working with individuals that have all different views. So the idea that there can only be one view, how can you work with the public?
Yes,
it just makes no sense to me. They put that investigation report back to me, and I appealed all their investigation reports. And in the appeal, they just doubled down. They said, you know, as white people, we have a privilege that other races don't have. That's sort of a fact. They said that, Christianity... they said, Europe, in the name of Christianity, is responsible for the inequalities we see today in health services. Gave no reference points for that. Mm. No evidence. Mm. Just that's a fact.
This is quite. I mean, I'm bound to ask: did you get any help from any kind of bodies or associations in your field?
No. Not at the TAF stock. They no nobody as I've gone all the way through the complaints procedure, all the way up to the CEO. Not a single person has, reached out to me or helped me or even said, you've got a perfectly valid point or I can see your point of view. They just keep telling me that they're an anti-racist organisation. And that's
That's
that.
a complete capture of the language, isn't
Yes,
it? That,
it's a
yeah.
complete capture of the
But
language.
the other people, I mean, what I'm interested in is, do you think that the your peers, on the course or whatever, would they just be going along with it? Do you think? I mean, this is the point where when people are subjected to this, whether it's in the private sector or public sector, I think the often the kind of response is to just for a quiet life,
Yes.
is to kind of go along with it.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of that. I think that there are probably, I think the field of psychotherapy and psychology is quite left-leaning. People that go into it are generally empathetic, compassionate people who lean in that direction. Not that people on the right aren't those
No,
things,
no.
but they are quite overly emotional and
Yeah.
they're drawn to left-leaning politics. So I think there is an imbalance in that field, I think, politically. So I think there's that. But I think it is, yeah, I think there are some people that don't want to speak up and there are some people that probably agree with it. And then you get the odd ones like me
Yes.
that will say, actually, hang on, what does this mean?
Has it sort
Because.
of given you second thoughts about actually having a career in psychotherapy?
Yeah, it did quite a
Yeah.
bit. I've really enjoyed my career in mental health and I love being able to help people and I do love the profession when it's done in a genuine way. The original pursuit of psychotherapy is to help somebody understand themselves and the truth about themselves. It's working with individuals. It's actually completely the opposite of a collectivist thinking because you're working with an individual. You're supposed to, the ethics of nursing and of psychotherapy is that you're creating a non-judgmental, neutral space.
Yeah.
That's what I've always been taught as a clinician. This ideology completely goes against that
Yeah.
because you're being told to make judgments about people before they've even said anything. I'm being told that my patient's black or Asian, that they're going to feel threatened by the fact that I'm white. I've got to assume that they've experienced racism and that they're a victim. These are all assumptions.
Yes.
Because when you work with individuals, as I have for many years, you see how much people are different. That they really don't, everyone has their own unique story. And it's only when you hear them speak that you have an understanding of what they think or feel.
Yes.
But this ideology is telling you to assume things about all sorts of groups of people before they've even said anything. So to me, that is completely against what I've been taught as a clinician.
Well, doesn't it sort of completely delegitimize the
Yes.
whole profession in a
Yes, it
way, doesn't
does.
it?
Yes. Yeah, it's complete opposite. It is, and the ideology itself is extremely, it goes against all the things that I've been taught as a mental health professional. It's hysterical. It catastrophizes. It jumps to conclusions
Yeah.
about certain things. It assumes what's going on in the other person's mind. It's very all or nothing, black or white thinking, excuse the pun. It is kind of, there's baddies and there's goodies. These are all psychological mechanisms that I'm generally trying to help people move away from. And actually, now that they have a stock, they're indulging in all
Yeah,
of these
yeah,
things.
yeah.
So, it's like they've embraced sort of neuroticism essentially, and they're advocating for it. Because, critical race theory and woke ideology, it is negative thinking essentially. There's a paranoia about it. There's a, that everything's oppressive, everyone's against you. And ordinarily, you're trying to help people to see nuance,
Yeah.
to not think like that. And now they're advocating that you should think like that, and you should encourage other people to think like that. So
You know
it's.
the people, like for example, the person who said to you, you've got problematic views, basically, and you should see this because you're white. It's not going to fit with what we do here. Those people, do you think that they have themselves been captured by this, or were they always there? Because
Both.
I know it sounds crazy. The thing that people ask us so much, and it's a very good question, really, is how come so quickly
Yes.
this seems to have become endemic in all of our institutions and professions?
Yeah, as I can see it, some of these people are true believers. That's my experience. They are ideologues, but they've been emboldened by the fact that the institutions are now backing up their ideas. So they probably always fought like this, but now the institutions that they're working are calling themselves an anti-racist organization. So they've got legitimacy now, and they're sort of, coming together as a group and feeling more that they can push these ideas where before maybe not. So there's a kind of a groupthink happening in the institutions. I mean, these ideas have always been around, unfortunately, in psychology. The original psychoanalysts, Freud and Jung and Klein, they weren't particularly political. In fact, Jung actually spoke about the dangers of ideology. But then it was in the sort of 1950s, the Frankfurt School and critical theory, they took these ideas of psychoanalysis and they essentially fused it with Marxism, essentially. So you see Herbert Marcuse talking about, false consciousness, and you have Adorno talking about the sort of the authoritarian personality type. So they're kind of pseudo psychology where they're using terms like unconscious and personality types. They're not psychologists. They're essentially communists, but they're twisting the ideas of psychology to merge it with these ideas. And as I can see it, that merger has not probably been reckoned with in psychology. It's always hung around. So you see how it kind of goes in and out of these ideas. Especially with critical race theory, there was a psychologist, a psychoanalyst called Frantz Fanon, who wrote about the sort, he'd be a critical race theorist if he was alive today, like the sort of a Ibram X. Kendi type. But he spoke about this idea of black skin, white mask, the idea of acting like you're white, and whiteness is being educated, and really racist stuff, actually. That we see today with, you see, like the way that Kwasi Kwarteng was treated, where he was told that he was superficially black because he's acting white by being educated, which is an extraordinarily racist thing to say about black people. That if they're educated, they're acting white. This comes back to some of these ideas that we saw in psychology and psychoanalysis in the sort of
So
1950s.
really they're carrying on a kind of tradition, actually,
Yes, in
with
a
this,
sense.
intensifying it.
Yes, it was always there. It was always like a sort of niche. I would explain that they had this offshoot of kind of Marxist psychoanalysis that was, but now that's become the mainstream, which is essentially what they're doing is they're doing sort of Marxist literary analysis of patients. They're saying this patient has got false consciousness. This is a Marxist idea. It's not clinical psychology. And yeah, it's terrifying because this is now, like I said, it's become the inversion of what it should be. It's encouraging pathology. It's encouraging neuroticism. And that is now becoming more mainstream. Yeah.
Were you, I mean, you sound politically, pretty well informed. I mean, were you interested in politics before you? I mean, have you been political in any way?
So a little bit more culture, more interest in culture than politics, I would say. But before I was trained to be a nurse, so I did a degree in English literature, which I found essentially to be a degree in critical theory. So that's what you, that's what it is now. I mean, I loved literature, but I was being asked to do Marxist critiques of books. And at no point in my degree was I told why it is that I'm doing that. Why are we looking at it through this lens? What's the why not any other lens? And so I was very dissatisfied with that and dissatisfied with academia in general. I mean, I did quite well at it, but I felt that I was writing things that essentially I didn't believe in. I was so I decided to go into nursing because it was just so radically different from academia. I thought, well, it's not political, it's just helping people, it's working with people. Get away from all those theories and ideas. And then as I've gone along, I found that these ideas that I tried to get away from have crept in to the NHS and into nursing. I mean, I remember when I was nursing and the Black Lives Matter protests, I was being told to speak to my patients about that. That, if you've got a black or an Asian patient, you need to speak to them about the Black Lives Matter protests. Well, that to me is, you're going in with an agenda if you do that. And actually, it's extremely offensive to assume that somebody, because they're black, would be affected by Black Lives Matter. They might not care about it.
Yeah.
They might not agree with it. And they might think, well, I haven't come to talk to you about that. You know, why are you raising that with me? So I started noticing it coming in nursing. And then it wasn't until this training course, this final 2 years at the Tavistock, where, I mean, even I was shocked. You know, I just thought, wow, it's gotten really bad. It's, you know, and so now I'm, you know, I tried to get away from these ideas, but actually it's come through.
Following you around.
Yes.
It still beggars belief that this is the NHS,
I know.
Which, you know, is in what appears to be permanent crisis.
Yes.
And yet, you know, it's becoming more clear, isn't it, by the day that it sort of spends a lot of time and possibly money as well on kind of the woke agenda, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah, very much so. And not just the NHS, we're seeing these ideas come through in the civil service,
yeah.
In primary schools, secondary
yeah.
schools.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a recent thing in the news about Westminster University essentially doing racial segregation in the name of progress. So this is happening.
We've just done a program actually about this, which was Calvin Robinson actually talking all about indoctrination in school. I know I've sort of already alluded to this, but I mean, did you get anyone coming, approaching you, reaching out to you, sort of saying, I'm with you, or people in your position who sort of say, I don't want to say my name, but I agree with you, from the NHS or were you very much on your own?
I was very much on my own with it for the whole of the 2 years.
2 years.
Since I've gone in the press and I've set out my crowdfund, I've got lots of people contacting me, you know, healthcare professionals saying, well done, somebody needed to do this. I've had some people who trained with me saying, you know, well done, I'm with you. So I have had some support since, not while I was on the training course itself, but I have had a lot of people now reach out to me and say, yeah, give me all sorts of stories about things that have happened to them, similar things, and So
what's the situation now then? Can you explain to us what you're going for exactly, and a sort of timeline, if you've got that, Amy?
Yeah, so I served court documents to them. So what happened after that, they continued to bully me essentially. After I initiated court proceedings and I got a bit of traction with my crowdfund, one of the lecturers essentially tried to have me struck off as a nurse. So my nursing is separate from my training at the Tavistock, but she accused me of racial harassment. She accused me of making her feel unsafe. She said my Twitter account made her feel unsafe. Just all sorts of nonsense things. The NMC were quite good. That's the Nursing and Midwifery Council. They shut that down quite quickly and just said, you know, nurses are entitled to disagree with ideas, essentially. And then one of the other lecturers gave a speech to the students where she said, we were going to meet in person because we were meeting over Zoom, but she's decided that because of my hate speech, we should remain on Zoom for safety reasons. And that my hate speech could be managed better over Zoom. And then they essentially suspended me. They told me that I was unsafe to see one of my patients. The reason they gave for that was because I knocked on a door and asked, there was a loud noise going on, and I knocked on a door and asked if the noise could be reduced. And they said I'd left the people in the room traumatized by doing that. Yeah, and they actually told me, this was said to me by the director of the clinic. She said to me, try not to go into the, shouldn't go into the reception area because your physical presence, if someone was to see you, they could be re-traumatized by the sight of you.
This is tyranny, isn't
this
it?
This is tyranny. It's
tyranny.
It's insane. And they haven't, again, this was said to me verbally. They didn't follow any policies or procedures. They didn't put it in writing to me. They didn't follow their suspension conduct procedure. They're out of control, Peter. They are deranged. Yeah. That they think the arrogance. They think they're above institutional procedures. They think they're above the law. It is like until you're in it, you can't understand what it's like. It's like I can understand fully how all the gender identity stuff happened now that I'm in it, because it is like they've got their own reality and they don't step outside of it. And it's just, it's the complete inversion of what a psychotherapy training should be.
So therefore, what are you
What am
going
I going to do?
after?
Yeah, so I want, so obviously I've initiated a lawsuit against them. I want this to be as impactful as possible. So I'm still exploring legal options with my legal team. I don't want to say too much about that because, but yeah, as I said, I want this to be as impactful as possible. I'm essentially going to take them to court for what they've done to me, but I also want to take critical race theory to court. We haven't had, there's been a lot of pushback in America against critical race theory. There's been some significant lawsuits in America, but not really here. You know, we're being having this stuff pushed onto us all the time, white privilege, white fragility. And we've had our politicians say, especially that famous speech by Kemi Badenoch, say, you know, this is illegal, but no one's put that to the test yet. And actually, if there is a bit of a, if there is a significant legal case, I'm hoping that people will think twice before being so strongly, you know, pushing these ideas so strongly. We've seen it with the trans stuff. You know, we've had some significant legal cases with Mayor Forstarter, Alison Bailey, and now we're seeing a bit of the tide turning with that. We critical race theory hasn't really had that yet.
Yes, it's sort of exactly, it's the most embedded, I
Yes,
think, as
yes.
well, isn't it? And the most touchy. That's the
Yes,
problem. It's the
yeah.
most sensitive in their eyes and everything. So, how can people help you? Now, you did say you're doing crowdfunding,
Yes.
but I know you've got a Twitter account, have you? What's that called?
Stand up to woke.
Stand Up to Woke.
Yes.
It could be this, motto for this show. But no, what you're doing, well, actually could be a real
It
landmark,
could
couldn't
be,
it? It
yes,
really
yeah.
could. So how can people help you financially? You say
Yes.
crowd, where should they go then?
So I've got a crowd fund called it's on GoFundMe/StandUpToWoke. So if you just Google Amy Gallagher or Stand Up To Woke, all one word, is the link to it on is on my Twitter as well. So this is a big financial risk for me. I'm trying to get some expert witnesses to testify against these ideas. Like I said, I want it to be as impactful as possible, but I do need money. I don't have money. So yeah, if anybody could donate or spread or just spread the word or just get help me in any way, that would be hugely helpful.
Have you been in touch with Toby Young's organization, Free Speech Union?
Briefly at the start, yeah, we've working with the Bad Law Project,
Oh yeah, Harry Miller and
Harry
Lawrence.
Miller. So they've helped us with publicity and they've given some advice. Christian Legal Centre have also given us some advice, but still at the moment financially, I'm doing this on my own. So, which is quite anxiety
Well,
provoking.
there you are, folks. If ever there was a worthy cause, I think this is it. Thank you very much for that.
Thanks,
I mean,
Peter.
what we're going to do now, I want you to say, because we're going to ask you a few more questions for our members, excessive members. But in the meantime, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
That's it for, so what you're saying is this week, we shall see you next time. Thank you.